From Wishing Star Studio in St. Paul, Minnesota, this is Being an Elder, Living a Meaningful Life, hosted by Karen Lund. This is episode 5, Life is Good, Being an Elder to the World.
Life is good. Once again, we get to think about this. As we think and become visionaries as elders to the world, we have to expand, enlarge, and develop an understanding of the possible positions that were offered as we move beyond our community and country. We really become visionaries of the world. For me, my objective as an elder to the world is to strive for peace, courage to act. Often it comes down to the courage to act. I see myself as a citizen of the world, this planet Earth. What brought this to mind is what the astronauts have said. They say that only upon gazing down from orbit do they realize they are citizens of the planet. From space, there are no boundaries between nations. It's one world. The Earth is said to be the most beautiful sight in the solar system. It's not bleak landscape like the moon or Mars. It appears blue and alive and peaceful. These words and thoughts certainly gave me a different view of how great our responsibility is to strive for peace and have the courage to act. Irene Fernandez, a Malaysian human rights activist, said, "We belong to one race, the human race, and we have only one Earth. This solidarity of people must ensure that we put people and the planet before profit. The earth we are given is not just for us, but also for those who come after us. They need a tomorrow, and that rests with us today." So let's look at it in two ways. I've looked at it as what I call first globally yours, and that's what can you do to impact our natural earth. And then the second one is our neighbors, which is really about creating a greater awareness of the diversity of the human race that inhabits the planet. So let's start with globally yours. Now, some of it you're going to say, "Well, Karen, I'm already doing that. That's great. But maybe we can go a little bit deeper. Maybe we can get a bit more of our community involved," such as recycling. Make it a habit. It's just got to be constantly recycling. And there are now issues out there. Does recycling really pay? What we see is that through the recycling, we have been able to save a number of things. One of the issues I found was they were talking about if we recycle cell phones, the saving, what we can save from the recycling of cell phones is the minerals and materials that they use in those cell phones. So make it a habit. The next one is trash talking. Now, trash talking, I know it exists out there in the sports world, but I'm really talking about garbage. This is the interesting thing I found out, is that daily, here in this country, we create 7.1 pounds of trash a day, each person. So what does that look like in a lifetime? That's about 102 tons of trash that you create in your lifetime. How do you measure 102 tons? Well, I decided to look at it as elephants. How many elephants do we create with those 102 tons of trash? It's from 13 to 25 elephants, depending upon if you're looking at African or Indian elephants. Another way that you can look at doing something for the earth is composting. And there are many cities now in the United States that actually offer this service. Some of them, the state of Maine has done it for years. The city of San Francisco has done it for years. I remember my mother and her composting. She grew up on a farm, so of course, with all the scraps that they had off the table, or all the scraps from what was in butchering and that type of thing, they did composting. So one year she decided at our lake cottage that she would start composting. And every day she went out there and turned the dirt, and new dirt was being remade and reinvigorated. And about 2 years later, I was up there in the spring helping her pot her flowers that she would put on her deck. And the soil was like silk. It was black, and you felt it, and you could feel it in your fingers, and you thought, this is wonderful soil that we have here to plant. And her flowers were spectacular that year because she had reinvigorated with the nutrients through the composting. Recently, I was just in Mexico at a resort, and I found out and went to visit their 18-acre organic farm. All of the food that we had at the resort, almost all of it was from the organic farm. But what they were also doing was composting. And we went out there to visit one day. The young man that was running this organic farming, he was so excited. He had to show us all the patches where he was developing composting, and they all were at a different age so that they were constantly developing new soil. And he'd show us the worms in it, and really we could see this work being done. The other thing that was amazing was at the resorts, one of the things that we did was we bussed our own tables. And so when you came down, you saw the pans that the dishes went into, and there was two scrap cans, one for just trash and one for organic materials that were taken out to this ranch for composting. Composting does a lot for us. And now what's available is you can do composting in your backyard, or even apartment complex and condos and co-ops are setting up composting. So look at that. See if that's something that you can get involved in. Organic farming is another thing that we as individuals can impact using the organic products that are often at farmers markets. What organic farming does, it develops sustainability. And that's the difference with the big commercial farms. They plant the same thing over and over again, and the nutrients are gone. You know, I remember visiting out on the farm where my uncle had a farm and my grandparents. And one of the things they always talked about was the rotating of crops. And every spring it was, what are we going to plant in this field this year so that we can put nutrients back in? And that's what organic farming does. It sustains the value of the soil. It doesn't wear it out. Another thing is plant a tree. Do you realize that Arbor Day is recognized all over the world? It just happens on different times and in different ways. And Arbor Day was actually started in Nebraska in 1872. The thing about planting a tree is that we're concerned with the deforestation. And a website Live Science in 2015 stated that half of the world's tropical forests have been cleared. Huge. What's interesting is Europe is so much better than anybody else. They are planting trees faster than they are being cut down. Those are just some of the little ideas that I've proposed and talked about as what we can do to impact the planet. In my book, Being an Elder, which you can find on my website, beinganelder.com, you'll find many more ideas around what we can do. You may feel, as an individual or as a small family, can we really impact it? And just think about that, 7.1 pounds of trash. The Como Zoo and Conservatory in St. Paul, Minnesota, is working with young people in developing recycling and developing the composting. And what they've found, they've set goals. They are helping the young adults and the children look at how much trash they can actually eliminate from their daily life. Now we have our neighbors. These two words, our neighbors. Usually we think of, and it relates to, the people that live next door. They usually look like us. Maybe they're your friends. Our neighbors are our friends. And they usually look like us. Maybe it's the people we see when you shop, and most of them look like us. For me, the term our neighbors has a much broader aspect. It's all who inhabit this planet. And to be honest, they don't look like me. In fact, only a small portion of this world looks like me. And yet, they are still our neighbors. I carry the hope that I will never diminish any person's value as a human being and will accept them as my neighbors. To become that citizen of the world, I must learn to understand the likes and differences between us and accept them. I like reading often from the Dalai Lama because he always gives me the words and the understanding. And I think he's really done that with this topic as well. He said, morality, compassion, decency and wisdom are the building blocks of all civilizations. Each of us has a responsibility to try to help at the deeper level of our common humanity. It is our responsibility out of love and compassion for mankind to seek harmony among nations, ideologies, cultures, ethnic groups, and economic and political systems. Mutual respect, trust, and concern for one another's welfare is the best hope for lasting peace. Let me repeat those words. I think they're really important. Mutual respect, trust, and concern for one another's welfare is the best hope for lasting peace. You know, we struggle with the challenge of accepting others who are different. We allow the obstacles of color, ethnicity, to get in the way. Some of us find it's really hard to be open, but that's what we have to be. And we will be open unless we have a closed mindset. The challenge for each of us is to learn about the world's cultures, to go beyond the thinking and judgmental view of what we might think is the ideal neighbor. I've had lots of opportunities to learn about our neighbors. Since I've had the opportunity to work in Asia, I lived in Singapore and worked there. I worked in Malaysia, Hong Kong, Thailand. I lived in Australia and also worked in New Zealand and lived and worked in Canada. And I had a really strong message for myself when I did this. I kept saying, I'm a guest in this country. It was really important because very early on in my international travels, in 1970, I went to Japan. And I was there strictly to see Japan. I went there to visit Japan and to understand its culture. And I saw at that point the ugly American. And that's the arrogant, bluffy people that just think that the United States is everything and anything, and every other country is well below us on the ladder to success. How I wanted to live my life, I wanted to learn about the other cultures. I wanted to understand their values and their way of life. That is so important. I wasn't there to change them. I was there to learn about them. And likewise, I wasn't there to boast about how wonderful and perfect the United States of America is. Huh. I wanted to create an environment that allows us to positively interact and learn from each other. And that's what I did. I had great relationships with our staff. I learned from them. They learned from me. And we were able to accept each other on a very human level. One of the things I think that I see here that happens as immigrants come into this country, we want them to immediately speak English and to wear immediate Western clothes. And we have no understanding where they came from. We just are ready to make judgments. Here's what's interesting. If all of us who are fourth or fifth generation from families that immigrated here, when those immigrants came to the United States, they didn't speak English. My father talked about the fact that when he lived on the farm with his grandparents, they spoke Norwegian. So he spoke Norwegian there. But when he went to school, he spoke English. And what happened was he very often was the interpreter for them when they had other work to do outside of the family. I think we see the same thing with the immigrants coming in here. And it has been proven that within the second or third generation, those immigrants are now speaking English. We have such a quick way of judging. And I think what I learned being in other countries and living there was I needed to really just accept that this was their way of life. And one of the funniest stories I experienced was when I finally moved into an apartment, I had to call to hire a taxi to get to work. Let me tell you, I never drove in Asia. They're crazy there. They don't have the same sense of civility on the roads. I'm not sure we have much of it here either. But they just, if it's supposed to be four lanes, it might be six or seven lanes to them. So I never drove. So I always had to hire a taxi. So the first time I called, I said, I need a taxi at such and such an address at 7 o'clock in the morning. And the man said back to me, call you back, and hung up. And I thought, what's this call you back? What's going to happen? Do I need to call him again? Did he not understand my message? waited about 5 minutes, and he called me back, and he said, your taxi number is this, and it will pick you up at 7 o'clock. And he just said, taxi number 621, 7 o'clock, and hung up again. What I came to realize that the efficiency of this man was that he would just say, every time I called, call you back. If he was a dispatcher in the United States, he would say something like, I will call you back when I know what the taxi number is that you're going to have and confirm for you that you have a taxi coming at 7 in the morning. This long, complex, convoluted statement. This man, every time I call for a taxi, just said, call you back. So you have to understand and work within those cultures. The last section in the book on being an elder to the world is what I call experiencing our neighbors. And I have two friends that I've told the story about their travels. One was a woman that I taught school with when I taught in Colorado. From her retirement, she started traveling, and most of her traveling was done through the volunteer programs that she could go to and work with people in other countries. She didn't speak their language, but her whole point was, I didn't have to. We could communicate always. And that was the way she moved out into the world. The other one, Roz, is a woman I volunteer with at Como. And her goal, and I didn't know this until after she had accomplished it, was to go to every continent. She's been to Antarctica. I mean, this is amazing, and she's still traveling. And her goal in doing all this traveling, besides visiting every continent, was to get to the wildlife. She had grown up as a young child wanting to know more about the wildlife throughout the world. And so that's one of her focus. She continues to teach, so she's always bringing back the lessons she's learned. And I think many of you out there have experienced our neighbors in other lands, in other ways. And again, all we can think about when it comes to being an elder to the world, that we can impact the planet and that we can develop a greater understanding for the human aspect that lives on this planet. And in that, we strive for peace because we have the courage to act.
Kindness. For more about being an elder living a meaningful life, visit beinganelder.com. You can purchase a copy of the Being an Elder, Becoming a Treasure book online.